Good morning. Glad you're here. Please pray with me. Oh, Father, when we consider what you've done for us, we're amazed. We love you because you first loved us. We thank you. We praise you. What amazing love. Father, would you bless your people this day? Would you enable us to worship our Savior in spirit and in truth? Would you bless our fellowship? Would you bless our communion? We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles to the first epistle of St. John, the Beloved. Chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Lord willing, this morning I want us to contemplate one of the most quoted, most misunderstood, but most beautiful texts and ideas in Holy Scripture. And I tremble before it, for my reason cannot fully comprehend it. I can only believe and marvel. Please stand with me for the reading of Holy Scripture. John the Beloved writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. You may be seated. Well, that most beautiful and most misunderstood idea that I mentioned in Holy Scripture is there in verses 8 and 16, where the beloved apostle writes, Ha theos agape esten. God is love. God is love. That's a beautiful phrase, isn't it? It's a beautiful phrase, a universal axiom, a phrase often repeated. But what does it mean? What does it mean? As the theologian Don Carson notes in his book, The Difficult Doctrine of the Love of God, much of the historical work undertaken to try and understand what this means has focused on linguistics and word studies. Some of you have read C.S. Lewis's little book, The Four Loves. And it's about the four Greek words in our New Testament that are translated love in English. And such word studies are interesting and helpful to an extent, but when the word in view is love, they can ultimately leave us as flustered, because the pervasive use of love in English, and not just in English, in other languages as well. So word studies are interesting, but they're definitely not definitive. Love. Word love is used to refer to our feelings for our children and our friends. It's used to refer to sexual intercourse. It's used to refer to our fondness for hot wings and our partiality to a sport or a book or a film. I love it. Well, the best theologians posit a hermeneutic that I think is wise, very wise. They say, whenever possible, let Scripture interpret Scripture. The best theologians posit this hermeneutic, and they say, whenever possible, let Scripture interpret Scripture. And think with me, this is obviously the best whenever only one writer is involved, right? I mean, for example, if Paul uses a phrase in one of his epistles, and the meaning there is not clear, but he uses the same phrase in another of his epistles, and it's clear there, then the clearer Pauline writing can shed some light on the less clear Pauline writing. You see? It's helpful. But in many cases, we don't have such a nice matchup. So instead of looking within a certain book, we have to look to a certain writer. And if it's not in the same book or the same writer, we have to expand our search to a genre like gospel or epistles or to the whole New Testament. Well, beloved, I don't believe we can fully answer this question. I'm not even going to try. We can't fully answer the question, what does it mean that God is love today? Because God is in view and His ways are past finding out. But listen, there are some clues in Holy Scripture. And the idea that God is love is a worthy idea, Christians, for us to contemplate. It's a worthy idea. If I think the way that I often think, I see, I believe, in John's language, an equivalence, an equality, even an equation. God is love. God is love. With that in mind, I want you to please turn in your Bibles to Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In this famous chapter, the inspired apostle describes Christian love. And I want you to listen as I read a short section from this chapter with a paraphrase that I believe is warranted by John's equation. Look down there to verse 4, and I'm going to paraphrase from the New International Version. Just listen. God, love, God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. God is love. Now I'll stop there and I'll acknowledge that that way of reading could be risky. And it shouldn't be undertaken capriciously. But saints, listen. If God is love, and the Holy Apostle affirms that He is, then I think we just learn something about God and about love. This is how our God is. He is love. And that's how love is. And God is love, and that's how God is, our God. If 1 Corinthians 13 is God's description of love, and Christians believe that it is, then because God is love, that's what He's like. That's what He's like. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Holy Scripture never presents God as the watchmaker God of the deist. Yet there are deists today, and many of the founding fathers of our nation, of the American nation, were deists. And the deists believe in a watchmaker God. The deist surveys creation. He says, man, this is awesome. This is great. Irreducible complexity, purposeful design. There has to be a God. It's just obvious. But a God who is involved in His creation, a God who answers prayer, nah. No. No. The glorious watchmaker built the watch. He wound it up. But now He's gone. He ain't here no more. No more. This is the God of the deists. He was here, but no more. No more. Well, beloved, listen. Listen. This is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the God who is the protagonist of Holy Scripture. It's not. It's not. The God of the Bible is not gone. He is present. He is I am. His name is I am that I am. His very name, I am, is a sentence. And the subject is I, referring to God, and the verb is am, which is a being verb. God's very name refers to existence, to being. In philosophical terms, God is a necessary being. He must exist. We humans are not necessary beings. We're contingent. We are here because He is here. We exist only because He exists. He made us. He is here. He is present. And not only this, listen, He acts. A-C-T-S. He acts. He works. The God of the Bible acts. And in the mystery of providence, listen, in the mystery of providence, He often acts in response to His people asking Him to act. In the mystery of providence, He often acts because His people say, God, please act. He says, Beloved, hear, listen. He has not gone away. He is very near to all of us. He is here, and He is not silent. He has spoken many, many words, and the greatest word He has ever spoken is Jesus, the living Word. The greatest expression of the love of God is logged by the beloved apostle when he records the words of the Savior who said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. Paul explains this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 when he writes, "God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What happened on Calvary? An overt demonstration of the magnanimous love of God. So, beloved, listen. I believe that John's assertion that God is love means that God has certain attributes that are loving, like patience and kindness. And negatively, that He doesn't have unloving characteristics like enviousness and boastfulness and pride. 1 Corinthians 13. Like love, He's not easily angered. Like love, He doesn't keep a ledger of our sins. Like love, He doesn't delight in evil but rejoices in truth. And like love, He protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres, and never, ever fails. Our God. And beyond all that, because He is love, He acts. He acts. God acts. He has not gone away and left us. He's here. He sees, He hears, He loves, He acts. He acts. Now, saints, listen, if you don't believe this, then you should quit praying. And I don't believe you should quit praying. Karl Barth has famously used the phrase "holy other," W-H-O-L-L-Y, "holy other," to describe God. And if I've understood Barth's meaning, then I think I disagree, because he intimates that there's no correspondence between God and man. He is so transcendent, so wholly other. There's no correspondence. But to the contrary, listen, saints. Man, humanity, was created by God in His own image. And we believe that He created our rational minds in such a way that we can receive and understand what He wants to communicate with us, because He's made us in His own image. Can God communicate with you? Yes, He can. Yes, He has. Yes, He does. When He came into the garden, He talked with Adam and Eve. Genesis 1:28. He spoke with Moses as a man speaketh to his friend, Exodus 33:11. Later He became quiet, but He spoke to His people through His prophets, and His words, when written down and repeated, echo the divine speech to this very day. God reveals Himself to humanity. God reveals Himself to man. If He chose to hide Himself, we would never, ever find Him. But He has not. He has chosen to reveal Himself to the sons of men. The apostolic writer to the Hebrews says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." Hebrews 1:1-2. And you're very familiar in the prologue to the fourth gospel. The beloved apostle writes, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God, the Word who is God. The most profound word that God has ever spoken is Jesus. And Jesus, the Word, speaks. He speaks in the Gospels. He speaks through His holy apostles. And Jesus' gospel words, listen, Jesus' gospel words and the teachings of the holy apostles are divine revelation. Revelations, words from God. Saints, listen, do we believe that? Do we believe that? Well, we do. We do believe that. So listen, when John the Beloved, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writes, not once but twice, God is love, this is intended to communicate something to us about God. He's teaching us something about God. But listen, beloved, anytime Holy Scripture says God is, it's a revelation about God. Just listen. Consider some of the God is's of Holy Scripture. Let's listen. Many of these are repeated multiple times, but I'm only going to read them once. But listen, God is. God is not a man. Numbers 23:19. God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4:24. God is a merciful God. Deuteronomy 4:31. God is one. Deuteronomy 6:4. God is God of gods, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute judgment for the fatherless and widow. He loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Deuteronomy 10:17-18. God is a refuge. Deuteronomy 33:27. God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away His face from you if you return to Him. 2 Chronicles 30:9. God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7:11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. God is the King of all the earth. Psalm 47:7. God is judge. Psalm 56. God is the God of salvation. Psalm 68:20. God is holy. Psalm 99:9. God is the salvation of Israel. Jeremiah 3:23. God is righteous in all His works that He doeth. Daniel 9:14. God is a spirit. John 4:24. God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is true. 2 Corinthians 1:18. God is not mocked. Galatians 6:7. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. And finally, the last God is, in 1 John 4:8-16, God is love. God is love. Beloved, listen. The only way we can know or understand anything about the invisible Almighty God is if He is pleased to reveal Himself. And He is. He is pleased to reveal Himself, and He does. And you just heard all those God is's. And listen, every one of them is a revelation that tells us something about the Almighty. And through His beloved and holy apostle, He says, I am love. I'm love. Love is an attribute of God. An attribute, you know, is a quality or feature regarded as characteristic or an inherent part of something or somebody. So love is a primary quality, a principal characteristic, an inherent part of our God. He is loving. He is love. Now hear me. God's divine love, His divine love is in no way in conflict with His holiness, His justice, His righteousness, or even His wrath. You've heard it said before that Charles Haddon Spurgeon's famous quip. People would ask him, how do you reconcile divine sovereignty and human responsibility, Mr. Spurgeon? How do you reconcile those things? And he says, well, I don't even try. I would never reconcile friends. Friends don't need to be reconciled. And saints, listen, if that's true about those glorious doctrines, it's true about the love of God. It's also true about the love of God. It doesn't need to be reconciled to His holiness, His justice, His righteousness, or His wrath. Those are not enemies. They are friends. God's justice is a loving justice. God's righteousness is a loving righteousness. Yea, even His wrath is a loving wrath. God is love. Everything, listen, everything God ever does is loving. Even His judgment is rendered and executed in love. God is love. Now, listen, saints, if we have a hard time understanding that, that's not a deficiency in the divine. Do you understand? I've heard it said, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. And I can do the best I can to explain it, but I can't understand it for you. And beloved, listen, in light of this high truth that God is love, we, His children, should cultivate loving and kindly thoughts about our God. Now, in this church, we boldly and unapologetically proclaim the high sovereignty and utter holiness of Almighty God. But hear me, these things are not in conflict with the apostolic assertion that God is love. Brother, sister, listen. If in your mind you believed in the absolute sovereignty and high holiness of the Almighty and have neglected to magnify in your mind the truth that God is love, well, then you have a warped and deficient view of your Father. Do you hear me? He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son for us. Why? Because I love you so much. He gave His life for us. He gave His Son. Christian, behold your bleeding God. When with your mind's eye you see that bloody cross on a hill far away, When you see your Savior's flayed and broken body, His pierced flesh and His bleeding hands, know this. Know this, saint. That murder on Mount Calvary was the most beautiful love story in the history of this world. It's the most beautiful love story in the history of this world. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. And beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. See how He loved us? We ought to love one another. The great Baptist preacher and contemporary of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Octavius Winslow, wrote this. Listen. In Jesus, every perfection of God dissolves into grace and love. With your eye upon the cross and looking at God through that cross, all the dark letters of His providence will in a moment become radiant with light and glory. That God who has so revealed Himself in Jesus must be love, all love, and nothing but love, even in the most dark, painful, and afflictive dealings with His beloved people. Close quote. God is love. God is love. Saints, brothers, sisters, do you believe that? Believing it has implications. Believing it has implications. Beloved, the beloved apostle writes, beloved, 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 let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. Not because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Saints, the doctrine of, if your doctrine of God is high, good. Good. Should be. Lord willing, as long as I'm here, I'll preach a high doctrine of God. But listen, that must never exclude love. Love is the best. Love is the highest. When faith and hope are gone, love will still remain. Love. Because God is love. And He'll remain. Saints, listen. Let your prayers reflect your faith. And thank God more for His love than plead for His mercy and forgiveness. He's already promised you that. You praise Him for His love. And let us ever love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And He is love. And because we love Him and He loves us, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Who you love? I love you. 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 I told you we couldn't exhaust this text, this idea that God is love. And I've proven that to you this morning. This is just barely scratched the surface of the deep, deep love of Jesus vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Our God is love. Come, happy souls, approach your God with new melodious songs. Come tender to Almighty grace, the tribute of your tongues. So strange, so boundless was the love that pitied dying men, the Father sent His equal Son to give them life again. Thy hands, dear Jesus, were not armed with a revenging rod, no hard commission to perform the vengeance of a God. But all was mercy, all was mild, and wrath forsook the throne when Christ on the kind errand came and brought salvation down. Here, sinners, you may heal your wounds and wipe your sorrows dry. Trust in the mighty Savior's name, and ye shall never die. See, dearest Lord, our willing souls accept thine offered grace. We bless the great Redeemer's love and give our Father praise. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. My Father, enlarge my heart, warm my affections, open my lips, supply words that proclaim love lusters at Calvary. There, grace removes my burdens and heaps them on thy Son, made a transgressor, a curse, and sin for me. There, the sword of thy justice smote the man, thy fellow. There, thy infinite attributes were magnified, and infinite atonement was made. There, infinite punishment was due, and infinite punishment was endured. Christ was all anguish, that I might be all joy. Cast off, that I might be brought in. Trodden down as an enemy, that I might be welcomed as a friend. Surrendered to hell's worst, that I might obtain heaven's best. Stripped, that I might be clothed. Wounded, that I might be healed. Athirst, that I might drink. Tormented, that I might be comforted. Made a shame, that I might inherit glory. Entered darkness, that I might have eternal light. My Savior wept that all tears might be wiped from mine eyes, groaned that I might have endless song, endured all pain that I might have unfading health, bore a thorny crown that I might have a glory diadem, bowed His head that I might uplift mine, experienced reproach that I might receive welcome, closed His eyes in death, that I might gaze on unclouded brightness, expired that I might live forever. O Father, who spared not thine own Son, that thou mightest spare me, all this transfer thy love designed and accomplished. O Father, help me to adore thee by lips and life. O that my every breath might be ecstatic praise unto thee, my every step buoyant with delight, as I see my enemies crushed, Satan baffled, defeated, and destroyed, sin buried in the ocean of thy reconciling blood, hell's gates closed, and heaven's portal open. Go forth, O conquering God, and show me the cross, mighty to subdue, comfort, and save. O Father, thank thee for thy love. In Jesus' name, amen.